This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Peace TV.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Welcome to this week's episode of Reflections of Islam. I'm your host Abdurrahim McCarthy. In this week's episode we're going to be talking about inshallah ta'ala a day in the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're going to reflect and how the Prophet ﷺ used to live his life in or his daily life. And obviously in one or two episodes, we cannot cover the entire seerah of our beloved Prophet ﷺ, but at least we can cover a day in his life, ﷺ, so we can try to be like him in our everyday lives. And the importance of studying the seerah in Islam, you'll see that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, that we have in our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a good example. And he's the good example, and he calls us to good in every aspect of life. So if we want to be successful, we must follow him alayhi salatu wa sallam. And also, how many people claim that they love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's not enough for you to claim that you love him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, to say that if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and He will forgive you from your sins. So you'll see that the scale that we judge the love of a person for Allah or for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is how he follows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he implements the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life, or if he does not implement his sunnah alayhi salatu wa sallam. Also, when you look at how the salaf from the sahaba and those who came after them, how they used to focus on the importance of the seerah and teaching the seerah to their companions, to their students, and to their families and their children as well. If you look at the story of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, it said that when Ubaydullah ibn Utbah, he said, he was describing the sittings of Ibn Abbas radiallahu an, and he said that we would sit in there and he would sit with him almost all night, and he would just be talking about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His whole sitting was about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it came in another narration about Ibn Abbas radiallahu an, that he would make sure that every day he would take a portion of his day just to teach the seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ali ibn al-Husayn, rahimahullah, he said that kunna nu'allim mughazi ar-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama kunna nu'allim surah min al-Qur'an, that we would teach the mughazi. The mughazi, it means the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you'll find in some of the earlier books when they say the mughazi, they mean the seerah in general. But they use the word mughazi, be the battles, because a large portion of the Prophet's life, alayhi salatu wasalam, it was in battles. The time of Medina, there were so many battles between the Muslims and the Kufar, the non-Muslims, that they called his seerah, his way of life, the maghazi as well. So he said, we would teach the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as we would teach the surah of the Quran. So just as we teach our children and we teach the Muslims a surah of the Quran and how to memorize it, it's also very important to teach them the seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just because we did not get the chance to live and be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we as Muslims should not forbid ourselves of the chance and the opportunity of living with him alayhi salatu wasalam through his seerah. And you'll find the beauty of his seerah, if you really get into it and you read it and you know the seerah well, you'll feel, subhanAllah, sometimes like you're actually living with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and with the Sahaba. And this will help you in being successful and holding firm to your religion in this dunya as well. And as Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, rahimahullah, that if a person is truthful in wanting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanting the hereafter, and wanting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with him, that one of the things he should do is that he should read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so as it is if he is with him in his seerah alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's start the day in the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first thing he would do, as all of us do, is wake up in the morning. But the way he would wake up and why he would wake up, probably it's much different from the reason and how we would wake up. So the first thing he would do when he would wake up is remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can go back to a lot of the small books of adhkar, or go back to the books of the sunnah and see where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the different adhkar that you say when you get up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night. And you'll see from the things he used to say alayhi salatu wasalam was, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. He would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing him back to life after death, because sleeping is called the small death, because it's almost like you're dead, so it's almost like a form of death. So he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving him life. And how many people have gone asleep and they have not woken up? So he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving him another day in this life. And he says, wa ilayhi nushur, that we know that we are returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will return to him in the end. And also, and after this, he would start by saying other adhkar, or he would read the last 10 verses of Ali Imran and other adhkar. And you can find this, like I mentioned, in the book of adhkar, as the scholars of Islam have written. One of the best books that I would say that I would advise all the Muslims to have and to read is the Wabil al-Sayyib by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. He mentions in the beginning almost 100 different benefits of dhikr, of remembrance of Allah. And then he mentions all of the adhkar you need in your everyday life. And alhamdulillah, it's been translated into English and to other languages as well. And then after that, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would start by using his miswak, by brushing his teeth. And all throughout the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you'll find in several occasions when he entered the house, for example, as it will come, when he used to want to read the Quran before salat, when he makes wudu, it's always sunnah to use the miswak. And it's been proven that the miswak is actually much better for the teeth than the toothbrush and the toothpaste that we use in the world we live in today. But whether you use this or that, what's important is that you brush your teeth to get the bad smell out of your mouth. And a lot of people, as we mentioned in past episodes, they might go to the masjid in the morning and they have this foul breath, this morning breath, and they don't even brush their teeth, and they harm the other Muslims when they yawn, and the smell comes out, a'udhu billah. So our Prophet ﷺ, he was very keen on that, because he was getting up to pray. He would get up to pray, as it's going to come shortly, the night prayer. So his focus was having a fresh breath so he could read the Quran and make the dua with what? Make his prayer with fresh breath, so he would not harm the angels who are listening to this Quran as well. And so he would always be in the best status, alayhi salatu wasalam. After this, obviously, he would enter into the bathroom or relieve himself during this time. So during this time, how he would relieve himself, and you'll see that one of the Yahudis, one of the Jews, they told the companions, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that your Prophet has taught you everything. He wants to make fun of him. They say, even how to relieve yourself, how to go to the bathroom. And he said, yes, he said, there's nothing in this dunya that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the bird flying through the air, that he has not given us knowledge of. So you'll see that the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very in detail, and how a Muslim must relieve himself. First of all, he must go into an area where nobody else can see him. You don't do it in the public like you see a lot of the non-Muslims. Also, you'll see that in non-Muslim societies, they have the bathrooms where they stand up and they relieve themselves next to each other. So this is not from Islam, and it's not acceptable for a Muslim to do something like this. You must be in a concealed place where nobody else can see you. Then he would enter into this place with his left foot, saying the dua of Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. And when you look at the importance of seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a shaitan, and why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek refuge in a shaitan when he would enter the bathroom, this is something that we're going to learn together, inshallah, but after this short break, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back, inshallah ta'ala.
Marriage or divorce?
What's Islamic rule?
Husband wants to keep divorce.
Solution or problem?
Joint family system.
Heaven or hell?
Big fat deals have become the norm.
You choose. Beauty, wealth, family status, virtue. Decide what you want. Decide your choice. Be sad or be happy. It's your choice. Join Dr. Zakir Naik in Better Half or Bitter Half every Saturday at 7 p.m. Saudi Arabia and 8 p.m. UAE on Peace TV. Peace TV presents 100 million viewers, more than 30 dynamic dyes, their aim,
if indeed you love Allah, to live like Muslims.
So don't drop the baton.
Their vision,
something about iman, something about faith.
May Allah save us from the hellfire.
Ask Allah for protection and peace.
Their mission,
oh Allah, I turn to you and you alone.
Stand up and passionately strive.
Do what you can to spread the word of Islam.
We are a community that stands up for justice.
Establishing justice and peace.
I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Meet the personalities, lighting the new light to remove falsehood and to prevail the truth in Peacemakers. Next on Peace TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to this week's episode of Reflections of Islam. And we've been talking in this week's episode about a day in the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we started to mention how he would enter the bathroom or the place to relieve himself. And that has to be in a concealed place, as we mentioned. And the first thing he would do is that he would enter with his left foot. And a general principle when it comes to this, that doing the things that are good or praiseworthy in Islam, that always is with the right side or the right hand. And you'll find that doing it in the left is for those things which are sometimes disliked, or they're not as good as the things we do with the right. For example, when you enter the masjid, that's going to come, you're going to enter with your right and you're going to leave with your left. When you enter into the bathroom, you enter with your left first and you leave with your right. Also, when you're in the bathroom, when you clean yourself, it is haram in Islam to clean yourself with the right hand. You must use the left hand to clean yourself. And this is because it's also haram in Islam to eat with your left hand, because shaitan eats with the left hand, and this is the hand that we clean ourselves with. So in Islam, we can only eat with the right hand. This is the sunnah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he will enter making the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubt wal-khaba'ith. He would seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the khubt wal-khaba'ith, as some of the scholars said, from the female and male jinns. So he would seek refuge when he came in, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how a Muslim must be at all times and in all aspects of his life. You'll see now the importance of seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shayateen. When he warns us that a shaytan is our enemy, he's our adu, and he says, فَاتَّخِذُهُ عَدُوًا, so you should take him as your enemy. So we know shaytan, that he is our enemy. And also the shayateen, they love the dirty places. They love the places of filth and najasa and impurity. And the sunnah, when we talk about making istinja, and this shows you the beauties of Islam, is we have istinja, it was istijmar. You either use a dry substance that will clean you, or you use water. The third way is to use a dry substance, like, for example, we have toilet paper in the days we live in, and you would use this and then use water after that to clean yourself off. And you'll find that this is the best way and the purest way for a human being to clean himself. And I'll tell you an interesting story that happened when one of the Arab students from one of the Arab countries who was a Muslim obviously went to England to study. And in the university where he was at, they had a service where you could send your clothes to the cleaners there, and they would clean the clothes and iron them and send them back. So she noticed, the lady working there, that this Arab Muslim man had no stains in his briefs, in his underwear. So she noticed it like the first, second time. And I guess each time that his clothes would come, she would take a peek, you know. As they say, curiosity killed the cat. But in this situation, the curiosity actually helped her out a lot. So she would look and she noticed once again, there's no stains. So then the curiosity got the best of her. So she had to ask the guy. She said, I've been doing this job. She's an older lady. She said, I've been working here for 25 years and cleaning clothes. I've never seen a student who doesn't have stains on his underwear. So he said very simply that I am a Muslim and that our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught us how to cleanse ourselves when we relieve ourselves. And this is because we have to stand in our prayer and we cannot have najasat, impurities on our clothing. So we must stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our prayers in the best of states. So when she heard this, she immediately became Muslim. Subhanallah. You see now, just from the implementation of someone implementing Islam properly, that this was guidance for this lady to enter the religion of Islam. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned, the way he would wake up or what he would wake up for at the night, it was something different. We wake up now for Salatul Fajr if we're good Muslims, and if we're people who have gone astray, people might wake up. They might pray Fajr, but they'll put the alarm clock on 7:30, 8, whenever it's time, whenever they have to go to work, 6:30, after the time for Fajr, and then he will wake up and get ready and pray Fajr before he goes. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was getting ready for something very important. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, the one who has been wrapped up, he is calling him, and he says, قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا, to get up and to pray in prayer. And he said, any half the night or more or to what? Even less. So the Prophet ﷺ, he would pray half the night sometimes, and sometimes he would pray a little bit more, and sometimes he would pray a little bit less. But he was busy during the night, what, in the prayer. And this is it was his way, that he would always pray, as it came in the hadith of Aisha, 11 rak'ats. It came in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, 13. But the norm for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was to pray 11 rak'ats nightly, and he would never leave this, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he would get up and he would pray the night prayer. And it was actually a very lengthy prayer, a rather long prayer. Now, as I mentioned, we're talking about half the night or the majority of the night or a little bit less than half. So he would be praying maybe 6 hours a night, 5 hours a night, 4 hours a night, depending on the night, 3 hours. It would differ from time to time, but it was a lengthy prayer as it came in the hadith of Aisha, in a perfect prayer. As she said, radiallahu anha, la tas'al an tuliha wa husniha, on how long it was and how beautiful the prayer was, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it also came in the hadith of Aisha that she said to him when she saw him praying such a lengthy and strenuous prayer, she said, do you do this? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, do you do this and your past and future sins have been forgiven? He said, أَلَا أَكُنُ عَبْدًا شُكُورًا, then should I not be a servant who is thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And now, when we talk about being thankful for Allah, what do we think? We might be thankful on our tongues, but the real way to being thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His ni'mas, for His blessings, is through our actions. And you'll see this is the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it with the night prayer. He knows that he is the best of all of mankind. He's the Sayyid of Ibn Adam. And he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven his past sins and his future sins as well. And he knows the true way to be thankful is through offering as much voluntary acts as possible. Even though it was a must, he had to pray the night prayer, but to make it as lengthy as possible. And he said, that's why he said, أَلَا أَكُنْ عَبْدًا شُكُورًا, that do I not be a servant who is thankful, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when you look at his night prayer, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that which we gain from the night prayer as Muslims, first of all, this is one of the things that we mentioned in another series, the importance of the night prayer is that how it affects our iman, because it gives us the true ikhlas. It gives us the true sincerity in all of our acts of worship, and it strengthens our iman greatly, because nobody sees these acts of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not like the five daily prayers when everybody sees you praying it, so the ikhlas is not at the same level. Also, it teaches us the act of getting up at night, it's actually a form of jihad, because it's not easy to get up and pray at night. So it's this type of ibadah, this type of act of worship, it actually teaches us to be very strong Muslims and very strong in our iman and in our faith and our religion of Islam. Because we are striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it strengthens our iman greatly. Also, when you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he commanded his companions, and then advised them after that to pray the night prayer because of how it would affect them in their iman, and we see the effect of the implementation of Islam by the Sahaba after that as well. After this, the Prophet ﷺ, he would pray the two rak'ats of Fajr. After the adhan for Fajr, he would pray the two rak'ats of Fajr, and then he would sleep on his right side and take a little rest. Not really sleep, just take a little rest. And subhanAllah, you see the hikmah in this is that we're human. We're human in nature, so we need to rest. And you'll find even during the day sometimes when you're working, as it came in the hadith, قِيلُوا فَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَا تَقِيلُ, to take a qaylula, to take a small nap, because the shayateen, they do not take rest during the day. So you want to be different from them. This doesn't mean that we have to sleep 5 hours during the day or even an hour. If you just sometimes just take 10 minutes, sometimes even 2 minutes, you just get a rest, you'll find that you'll get up and you'll be full of energy. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ would do after a long, strenuous night of the night prayer. He would take this small rest before he would leave and go out for Salatul Fajr alayhi salatu wasalam. Not sleeping, just resting. So that's important that we benefit from that also in our lives. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave for the masjid, he would say, Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi nura. He would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill his heart. He would ask him to give him Allahumma ij'al nura, that he would ask Allah to fill his heart with nur and to give him light and to put light in the front of him, in the back of him, on the side of him. So the whole life, the meaning of the dua is that your whole life will be nur, light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he would make the dua upon entering the masjid when he would say Bismillah, and he would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a shaitan. And then he would say, Allahumma iftahli abwab rahmatik. He would ask Allah to open his doors of mercy for him because he is now entering the masjid. And the masjid is the place of rahmah. And the place of rahmah, the place to have your sins forgiven, the place of worship. And for the importance of this in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open his doors of mercy for him when he would enter. And then he would enter with his right foot, as we mentioned before. And upon leaving, he would leave with his left foot, and he would make the dua of khuruj, of leaving the masjid, which is also to say Bismillah. And then he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would seek refuge from Allah, from shaitan. He would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. He would ask Allah from his fadl, from his favor, because now when you're leaving the masjid, this is when you're going to focus on the affairs of the dunya, on working and making money. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his favor, or for his favor, so you only have your risk in that which is halal, and you have the tawfiq, the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the capability Allah enables you to be successful in all of your business transactions once you leave. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray Salatul Fajr, it's been confirmed that he would sit in his same sitting, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same sitting that he had prayed in. And that's why it came in the hadith when he said that if you sit in your musalla, the place where you prayed Salatul Fajr, and you were obviously sitting there until the shuruq, until the sun completely comes out, and then you pray two rak'ats, that you get the ajr of umrah, that you get the ajr of umrah. And this, no doubt, is a great reward. And this is encouraging the Muslim during this time, especially to reflect on reciting the Qur'an during this time, because this, the Qur'an al-Fajr, the work of the reciting the Qur'an after the Fajr, is one of the most blessed times. And you'll see through experience that if you try to read your daily portion of the Qur'an, your juzu or two or three, whatever you read in one day, that if you do it during this time, that you will have barakah, blessing in your day. Also, you will have finished the portion that you want to read, but if you put it off all the time, that you will not be successful in reading that portion. How many people, I mean, this is something personally that I see all the time with myself, and I see it with my brothers as well. When we sit down and we read the portion that we want to read from our tilawa, or from, even from a muraja of the hifz, we read it at that time, that we are successful during that day. But if we put it off during that day, and we say we're going to read it later, we're going to go rest for this time, we're going to do this at that time, that perhaps we do not read the Qur'an all during that day, unfortunately, or we read very small portions of the Qur'an during that day. Wallahu musta'an. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the adhkar of as-sabah, of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the morning time. And these adhkar, ayyuhal ikhwa, the adhkar of sabah al-masa', they are very, very important in the life of a Muslim. And you'll see that the Salaf, our pious predecessors, they used to focus on benefiting from these adhkar And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah used to mention, or as Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, that he would also sit in his area until like almost sometimes midday, just remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he is the teacher of the Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. And he looked at him, Ibn al-Qayyim said one day that Ibn Taymiyyah looked at him and he said, verily this is my ghidha. Verily this is my ghidha. This is my, this is what nourishes me. Meaning this is what nourishes my soul. Because the human being is created from body and from soul. And this is what nourishes him. So we need these times for ibadah. And this time after Fajr, like I mentioned, it's a very special time. So we should focus as Muslims on benefiting from this time. To stay in the masjid, to read the Qur'an into the shuruq. Thus benefiting from reading the Qur'an from the tilawah. From making the adhkar al-sabah. So we do not forget them. And also benefiting ourselves from having the reward of praying the two rak'ats after the shuruq of the shams, after the shuruq of the sun. When the sun fully sets after that, then we'll get the reward of going for Umrah as it came in the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we still have more in the day in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately, we're out of time. So until next week's episode, Allahu alam wa sallallahu wasallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.